Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to take a drum and bass drop that could easily feel like a four-bar loop and make it feel arranged, intentional, and alive. The tool is call and return motifs, also known as call and response. Think of it like a conversation happening on top of your drums and bass. One phrase speaks, the next phrase answers. The key is, they don't both talk at the same time. That's how you get movement and hype without turning your drop into a crowded mess. And we're doing it with two goals at once: modern control, meaning clean structure, automation that makes sense, and mix clarity. Vintage tone, meaning a little worn character, saturation, filtering, subtle degradation, and that jungle-ish been through a sampler vibe. By the end, you'll have a rolling 16-bar drop section, where the motifs trade places around the drums and bass, and it still hits hard. All right, let's set the session up. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Anywhere from 170 to 178 is fine, but let's live in that classic DNB zone. Leave global swing at zero for now. We'll get groove later with clip timing and groove pool if you want, but for now we're building a clean framework. Create four groups: drums, bass, motifs, and FX or Atmos. Keeping motifs in their own group is a big deal, because you can process them together, sidechain them together, and automate them as a single character in the arrangement. Now in arrangement view, drop a locator for a 16-bar section and label it drop 1. 16 bars. We're building one strong drop loop. You can always copy it later. Next, foundation. Your motifs will only feel like they're dancing if the drums and bass are stable. For drums, use a straightforward DNB skeleton. Kick and snare doing their job. Hats doing the rolling motion. Snare on 2 and 4, of course. Hats can be 1/16 or 1/8 with little variations every couple bars. On the drums group, add a glue compressor, lightly. Think 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 2 to 1. This is just glue, not smash. Then add drum bus. Drive somewhere in that 5 to 15% range, boom low or off unless you really know you want it, and crunch to taste. We're trying to make the drums feel slightly handled, not distorted into fizz. For bass, keep it consistent for this lesson. A sub plus a mid bass is perfect, operator or wave-eatable for sub, and your choice for a mid layer. But here's the important teacher note: resist the urge to make the bass do all the fills. The motifs are the story in this lesson. Bass is the floor. Now we pick the call. The call needs identity, something you can recognize instantly even when the drums are loud and the bass is rolling. Classic choices: a rave stab, a short respark, a vocal chop that's just one syllable, a horn hit, or an FM pluck. Create a MIDI track inside the motifs group and name it motif call. Let's build a device chain that gives us modern control but vintage vibe. First, your instrument. Simpler if you're using a stab or a vocal chop, or your synth if you're generating it. Then EQ8. High pass around 150 to 250 Hz. That is not optional in DNB. If your motif has low end, it will steal clarity from your bass and your kick, and you'll wonder why the drop suddenly feels smaller. It's because the low end is getting blurry. If it's harsh, dip around 2 to 4 kHz by a couple dB. Medium Q. Remember, harshness reads extra aggressive at 174 BPM. Next, saturator. Analog clip mode. Soft clip on. Drive around plus 2 to plus 6 dB. This is one of the easiest ways to get that slightly older tone, while still sounding controlled. Then auto filter. Use a low pass 24 dB slope. Start the cutoff around 6 to 10 kHz. Add a little resonance, maybe 10 to 25%, but be careful. Too much resonance is a fast way to make your motif whistle at the exact frequency your hats need. Then echo. Set it synced. 1/8 or 1/4 is a solid starting point. Feedback 15 to 30%. Filter the echo. High pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 6 to 8 kHz. And keep modulation low for a subtle tapish wobble without sounding like a chorus preset. Now, write the call phrase as a two-bar idea. Two bars is a sweet spot. Long enough to have a personality, short enough to repeat and vary. When you program this, think jab, jab, rest, hits, then holes. And those holes are not empty. They're where the drums punch through, especially the snare. Here's a simple example conceptually: a hit on beat 1, another hit a little later in the bar, a third hit that sets up the groove, and then space. And do yourself a favor, avoid landing hard on 2 and 4. Let the snare have the spotlight. Now we make the return. Duplicate the call track and rename it motif. Return. The return is not a second lead, it's an answer. It should feel like it belongs to the call, but it should be smaller, darker, or shifted in a way that makes that alternation obvious. Start with pitch. Try down 3 to 7 semitones for a heavier answer, or up 7 semitones if you want a bright, cheeky response. But for most rollers and jungle-leaning stuff, pitching down tends to feel more reply and less competing lead. Tone-wise, make it darker. On auto-filter, pull the cutoff down, maybe into the 2 to 5 kHz range. Instantly it tucks behind the call, which is exactly what you want. Echo, you can keep it mono for old-school solidity, or try 1/8 dotted for that bouncing jungle syncopation. Dotted echo and DNB can create movement without adding notes, which is basically a cheat code. Optional. Add redux, but subtle. Downsample around 1.2 to 2.5, bit reduction very light, and keep the mix low. The goal is slightly degraded, not video game. Now write the return phrase for bars 3 and 4. Keep the rhythm DNA connected to the call. It's like two people speaking the same language, but change the contour. If the call is high and sharp, make the return lower and round. Or if the call is bright and dry, make the return darker with a slightly longer tail. Extra coach note that helps a lot. Think in question marks and periods. Let the call feel unresolved, like a question. Let the return land, like a pyramid. If you're writing melodically, one simple method is ending the call on a note that isn't home, then letting the return land on the root or fifth. Even if you don't know theory deeply, you can hear this. One phrase feels like wait, the next feels like there. Now we arrange this across 16 bars. Use 2-bar clips for call and return, and then duplicate them across the 16 bars. A reliable structure is bars 1 to 4, call for 2 bars, return for 2 bars. Bars 5 to 8, call variation for 2 bars, return variation for 2 bars. Bars 9 to 12, this motif, let the drums and bass breathe. Bars 13 to 16, full motif energy, and a final tag at bar 16. When you make variations, do not overthink it. Duplicate the clip, change 1 or 2 notes, and move on. DNB responds massively to micro edits. Good variation moves. Remove the first hit so the phrase enters late. That creates instant tension. Add a tiny pickup note right before the phrase starts. Change only the last hit so it answers the snare differently. And here's a more advanced but super practical trick. Rotation variation. Take the entire 2-bar motif and shift it by an 1/8th note later. Same notes, same pattern, totally different relationship to the drums. It feels new without sounding like you changed the tune. Now we do modern control, sidechain and frequency lanes. Motifs can destroy a drop by fighting the snare and the mid-bass. So we'll make them behave. On the motifs group, add a compressor and enable sidechain. Choose the snare track as the sidechain input. Set ratio around 3 to 1. Attack 2 to 10 milliseconds, so the motif doesn't vanish completely, but it gets out of the way when the snare hits. Release around 80 to 150 milliseconds. Adjust threshold so you're getting about 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. This is one of those sounds boring solo moves that sounds incredible in context. It's the difference between loud and clear. Then EQ lanes. Put an EQ 8 on each motif track if needed. High pass 150 to 300 Hz. If your bass has a lot of mid-energy around 200 to 500, notch a couple dB out of the motifs there. You're basically giving each element its own lane. Quick lane concept to remember. Bass owns the lows, roughly 40 to 200, plus some low mids depending on the sound. Snare owns a chunk around 180 to 250 for body, and 2 to 5k for crack. Motifs should mostly live in the 500 Hz to 8k Hz zone, unless you're intentionally making a respite. Now let's bring in the vintage tone. This is where it starts feeling like a record, not a MIDI demo. Resampling is the move. Create a new audio track named Motif Resample. Set its input to resampling. Solo the motifs group and record about 8 bars of your call and return. Now you've got audio you can chop, reverse, and process like you're working with an old sample. Warp it if you want. Beats mode can give you punchy slicing behavior. Complex can smear in a vibey way, but be careful with complex because it can soften transients. On that resampled audio, add a gentle vintage chain, auto filter with a soft low pass around 10 to 14 kHz. That takes the shiny digital edge off. Saturator, plus 1 to plus 4 dB drive. Drum bus. Yes, even on motifs, but subtle. A little drive, a little crunch. Then utility for width. Keep it disciplined. 80 to 110% is plenty. Pro move. Fade outs on chop tails. DNB is fast, and long tails stack up and cloud the groove. Fades let you keep the vibe without the mess. Now, one of the best arrangement hacks in D&B, create return energy with automation, not more notes. Pick one or two parameters and automate them so the return feels like an answer moment. For example, make the call slightly brighter and the return slightly darker by automating auto filter cutoff down on the return bars. Or make the return echo tail a little wider by automating echo dry slash wet from 10 to 18%. Or add grit on returns by automating redux dry slash wet from 5 to 12%. Keep it subtle. At 174 BPM, tiny shifts sound like big gestures. If you crank it, it turns into a special effect instead of a musical conversation. Two more coaching tricks that level this up. First, microtiming. If the return feels like it's competing, nudge the return note slightly later, like 8 to 20 milliseconds. That tiny delay makes it feel like an answer rather than an interruption. In live, you can nudge notes or use track delay to push the return back a hair. Second, don't let tails decide your arrangement. If your return has delay or reverb, make it obey the phrase. Put a gate after the ambience and key it from the dry return, so the space stops when the phrase ends. That's how you get big atmosphere that still sounds clean and modern controlled. Common mistakes to avoid while you're building this. If both call and return are equally busy, it'll feel crowded. Make one the lead, one the support. If motifs hit hard on 2 and 4, your snare will feel weaker. Give the snare space. If motifs have too much low end, your bass will lose definition. If your reverb and delay tails are long, your drop will blur fast. And if your only variation method is adding layers, you'll end up with density instead of progression. Micro edits, automation, and resampling are your friends. If you want to push darker or heavier, try slightly tense intervals in the return, like minor seconds or tritones, but use them like spice. Also, try making the return smaller but meaner. Darker filter, more distortion, slightly lower volume. It can feel nastier without beating louder. Now let's do a quick practice structure you can finish in about 15 to 25 minutes. Build your 16-bar drop with drums and bass running. Create a 2-bar call motif, like a rave stab or vocal chop. Duplicate it into a return. Pitch it down 5 semitones, lower the filter cutoff, and try a different echo time like 1/8 dotted. Arrange bars 1 to 8 alternating call and return every 2 bars. This audio version is shortened for playback.